It's time to talk about Felix, the pet insurance brand made just for cats. Starting at under $1 a day, you can get whisker-to-tail protection with a plan as unique as your cat. Sorry, dogs. This customizable coverage is exclusively for feline friends. Learn more at felixcatinsurance.com. That's felixcatinsurance.com. Get it? Meow.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and this is my show. My friends come on, and you know them. We talk about the sports you care about, football, and now basketball, too, though we don't really pay attention until later in the year, and the absurdity that is our lives. Line etiquette at your local pharmacy, the current phase of the moon, the importance of talking to a human being on the phone, and most importantly, the power of a box of that. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Play Show Yet Not Overly Ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Moist Mike and Stuart Kovacs along the other way. We're rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Stopping by, he is off to the ACC Championship game in 2 weeks. Jeff Brohm will join us, the head football coach at Louisville, going home in year number one. It's been sensational. They have a big game this weekend up against Kentucky, coming off a big victory up against Miami. He'll stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time, 2:20 p.m. Pacific today. We got to start, though, in the NFL, as week 11 will conclude tonight with the Philadelphia Eagles going to Arrowhead Stadium to go up against Patrick Mahomes in the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? But before we get to that game and before we get to that matchup, which we'll preview later on, we got to go back to the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers game from yesterday. On Friday, to end out the show, I went on a fiery rant explaining that if you see the Pittsburgh Steelers get outscored, even with how great the Browns defense is, but also with how great the Steelers defense is, when you have two similar teams where the defenses are the strength and the offenses are just absolutely putrid, but when Pittsburgh doesn't show up offensively in this game, that should be it for Matt Canada. And in the game yesterday, they are down 10-0. Not that their offense really did anything outside of the Jaylen Warren big run, but you get the game to 10-10, and right at the end of the game, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who's only having a second career start, goes down the field, somewhat gets hot late, and puts the ball in field goal position where Dustin Hopkins hits what was a gimme for the game winner. That should be the nail in the coffin for Matt Canada. But let me be clear when I go through that I'm not putting all the blame on Matt Canada. Matt Canada, though, should not have a job, because it's the definition of insanity to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. So I'm not exonerating Mike Tomlin. I'm not letting Kenny Pickett off the hook. But you know Mike Tomlin isn't going anywhere right now. And you know, at least for this season, Kenny Pickett isn't going anywhere right now. But you need to do something, because doing nothing makes absolutely, positively zero sense. And it's the definition of, quite frankly, jackassery. And even though Mike Tomlin is a really good coach, and I'm not sitting here advocating for Mike Tomlin to be fired, because if Mike Tomlin was fired, he'd be scooped up by another team in an instant. But when you are a coach of an organization that is successful, an organization that is patient, and an organization that doesn't make hasty decisions, and there's a reason there have really only been three coaches that anybody knows about, you still have to find a way to meet the standard. And in the last few years, what we've seen from the Steelers towards the end of Big Ben, when the offense is cooking, the defense stinks. Now, for the last few years, the defense has been cooking, and the offense has zero identity. So it is on Mike Tomlin, who is really the CEO of the Steelers right now. He needs to make the change. And I said this on Friday, and I'll say it again. I don't expect any change to occur, but it doesn't mean I need to sit here and be silent. It doesn't mean I need to sit here with my hands underneath my tuchus and not say anything. No. I'm going to use my platform. I'm going to use my voice. And we got to hold Mike Tomlin accountable, because the Steelers used to be this proud, successful, winning organization. And I know Mike Tomlin has never finished below 500 as a head coach, which is remarkable. But finishing above 500, it's expected in Pittsburgh. It's a requirement in Pittsburgh. So just because you finish above 500 doesn't mean you get off the hook, doesn't mean we need to give you a pass. And it speaks to how good of a coach Mike Tomlin is, that without zero offense pretty much for the last few years, this team has continued that. And they'll continue it this year at 6-4. But what are you doing to try to put yourself in a better position? That's my problem with Mike Tomlin right now. And if it's loyalty, if it's stubbornness, if it's stupidity, whatever it is, or maybe choice D, all the above, it's got to change. Because we all know you're a damn good football coach. We all know you're one of the more respected people in the NFL. But sometimes changes occur, even to guys that are highly successful and guys that people know will get scooped up in a second, even if the Steelers were to part ways. Like, we are talking this year for the last few months, and I know Belichick is polarizing. I know people don't like Bill Belichick. But everyone is ready for the Patriots to move on or trade Bill Belichick. So if that could happen to Bill, who has been employed by the New England Patriots as their head coach for 24 years and has won 6 Super Bowls and has been to an additional 3 as the head coach, it could happen to Mike Tomlin, who has a ring, who has been to another Super Bowl. And the facts are, with Mike Tomlin, Steelers, even though I'm a fan, even though I believe he's a good coach, the facts are he has not won a playoff game since the 2016 season. That's a long time. And for some organizations, and I know Stu kind of looks at me and goes, is it really a long time? Lions fans will say, we haven't won a playoff game since 1991. So I understand that every organization is held to a different standard. But the Steelers are in a better class than the Raiders. The Steelers are in a better class than the Lions, even though this looks like it's the Lions' year, and they're starting to display that they're America's team. We'll get to that later. But for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not winning a playoff game since the 2016 season is ridiculous. It's a flat-out joke. It's unacceptable. It's inexcusable. So even though I am a Mike Tomlin fan, the pressure is going to get turned up a little bit on Mike Tomlin, because the easy, obvious, and clear-cut scapegoat needs to be getting rid of Matt Canada. But for whatever the reasons are, Mike Tomlin's a good-looking man. He's in shape. So I can't even make the cheesy joke that maybe Matt Canada has embarrassing photos of Mike Tomlin. But for whatever the reasons are, Tomlin still employs Matt Canada. And it's not only Matt Canada, it's also Kenny Pickett. But I'm not going to demand today that Kenny Pickett shouldn't start next week, shouldn't play for the rest of the season. You give him the rest of the season, and I'm going to assume that nothing really changes, because Canada stinks and Pickett stinks. And then at the end of the year, you say goodbye to both of them. If you want to keep Pickett on the roster, fine. But you need to make sure that you have someone else starting at quarterback. Because it's clear that Matt Canada isn't that dude. We've known that for a while. And now, even though he has seven game-winning drives attached to his resume, and he hasn't completed two full seasons yet in the NFL, it's clear that Kenny Pickett is not a great quarterback. He's not even a good quarterback. There's a reason there was only one quarterback that year that went in the first round, and Kenny Pickett had to wait as long as he did. Because it shows you how many other teams in their scouting didn't have a belief even in Kenny Pickett at that time. It's a nice story, him going to Pittsburgh, all that stuff, getting drafted by the Steelers. But if Mike Tomlin is serious about winning, if Mike Tomlin wants to win a playoff game, which he hasn't done since 2016, Mike Tomlin wants to get the Steelers back to winning playoff games and winning a Super Bowl, he's got to go back to the drawing board this offseason. You need a new offensive coordinator, and next year, you need a new quarterback because you have a championship defense, but you have the farthest thing from a championship offense. You have, quite frankly, a JV9 offense right now. So we go from the problems with the Steelers to then the team that they just played. That's the Cleveland Browns, where for Cleveland Browns fans, you should be thrilled. You should be jumping up and down today like fat kids in a candy store. Because those wins, after what Big Ben Roethlisberger did to you for 15 years or so, did not come a whole lot. And to get a win up against the Steelers, I don't care if it was clean, I don't care if it was ugly, it's very important for Cleveland. And give credit to Kevin Stefanski. A lot of people had him on the hot seat before the year. A lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion he would lose his job at the end of the season. He's gotten nothing out of his quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and we know Watson is now out for the season. But with a phenomenal defense led by Myles Garrett, who could make a case for the MVP this year, the Cleveland Browns are 7-3. That's a heck of an accomplishment. The Cleveland Browns are not only 7-3, they are 7-3 without Nick Chubb, who's their best offensive player, and then also without their quarterback that they guaranteed all that money to in Deshaun Watson. That is wild. And it just shows you that the Browns right now, who are in a similar position as the Steelers, but they're in a better position. Because the Browns, with really not much from their quarterback, until the end, found a way to get the job done. But if you're Cleveland, even though you should be thrilled with what transpired yesterday, I think you got to make one phone call. Because the Cleveland Browns, if they had a quarterback, they would be a bona fide Super Bowl contender. And when you look at Cleveland, even though the Dorian Thompson-Robinson final drive was fun, and we know this defense is kick-ass, and we know this offensive line is good, you know Amari Cooper is a really underrated wide receiver still. With all those things, you just have a quarterback, and if you had a quarterback, this could be a team, and this isn't crazy to say, that could be in the Super Bowl this year. Because the AFC is wide open. Chiefs are damn good. Ravens are damn good. But after that, there's not a third team that has taken the baton and really have run with it and showed that they belong in the top three conversation in the AFC amongst the NFL elite and the AFC elite. And that's why, you know, I put myself in Andrew Berry's shoes. You got to make this phone call. Because just bringing in Joe Flacco on the practice squad, that doesn't really move the needle. I saw what Joe Flacco did last year with the Jets. Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Good to have a body in there, but it's not going to be an effective body. You got to call Tom Brady. You have to. Brady is the greatest winner the NFL has ever seen. Brady is the greatest quarterback this league has ever seen. And he still has good football left in him. You know he's still addicted to the game, and Brady never turns down a winning situation. And as crazy as this seems, the NFL that was the NFL, the 20 years Tom Brady played in it, Cleveland wasn't a winning destination. But now they are. And I legitimately think, even though he has not played this year, and who knows what kind of shape he's in, but he's the GOAT, that if Tom Brady walked into the Browns facility tomorrow, he could win a Super Bowl this year. He could be playing on Super Bowl Sunday in the middle of February in Las Vegas. Because this Browns team has enough on offense, they have a good line, and they have a championship caliber defense. I don't know if Brady would say yes, but Andrew Berry, if you haven't made the phone call yet, that is a massive and that is an egregious mistake. Because dangle football in front of Tom Brady and try to see if Tom Brady really says no. Let's see how retired Tom Brady is. And for Brady, you can't lose here. You go to Cleveland and you win a playoff game, we already know where you are in the NFL. But the Browns fans would be thrilled. You go win two playoff games, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. You win three and get to a Super Bowl, they'd be doing somersaults in the street. And if you somehow win four playoff games, and you know Brady could do so, and bring a Lombardi trophy to the Browns, not that Tom Brady's resume need any enhancements, but we know what he did in New England with those six Super Bowls. We know he won one in Tampa. But imagine what that would do in Cleveland. Imagine that. Quite frankly, it'd be bigger than LeBron's championship with the Cavaliers. And that was wild. Absolutely wild, down 3-1, one of my favorite championships of all time with that comeback. And the whole, Cleveland, this is for you. Imagine Brady on the podium in a Cleveland Browns uniform. Cleveland, this is for you. It would be spectacular. And I don't have a dog in a fight. I have a team to root for this year. My team's out of it. I'm rooting for the Pats to tank. Brady gets back into the game, goes to Cleveland. I'm okay with it. The Browns for years were losers. I'm okay if they want to be winners with TB12. But let him at least say no. Don't just assume he'll say no. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Should the Browns call Tom Brady? I think yes. We will come on back. We'll do three college football takes on the other side. Off and running. Very busy Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, but where else? CBS Sports Radio.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
You can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. And you can listen to Westwood One tonight for the call of the Philadelphia Eagles going to Kansas City for a Super Bowl rematch with the Kansas City Chiefs to conclude week 11. So we opened up the show talking about the Cleveland Browns. Really good victory for them yesterday up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I look at this Browns team, even without Nick Chubb, even without Deshaun Watson, they continue to impress. They are 7-3. They have a championship defense. And even though Dorian Thompson-Robinson came alive late, you got to go get a quarterback. And Joe Flacco isn't enough. Just bringing him on the practice squad. This was 6-7 years ago when some would argue, is Joe Flacco elite? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Then maybe you have a different case. Maybe you feel good about bringing in Joe Flacco. But Joe Flacco, many years removed from being a really good quarterback in this league, he ain't going to cut it. And long term, for the rest of the season, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, my college pal, PJ Walker, not going to cut it. And I would look big, I would dream big, and I would go and try to acquire TB12 and try to lure him one last time out of retirement. Yeah, you could unretire twice. We've seen it happen in sports. And Brady with the whole Raiders thing, that's not official. Even though he's right in the ear of Mark Davis, he's not officially a minority owner yet. So there's nothing preventing TB12 besides himself from quarterbacking the Cleveland Browns. And if they get Tom Brady, they just go from a good story to a legit Super Bowl contender. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to John in South Carolina next up on CBS Sports Radio. John, what's happening?
I'm ashamed of myself. I was born in Cleveland, watched the Browns before the Super Bowls win championships. LeBron bought me the one, but you and your idea, every Cleveland fan out there, get on X, Twitter, whatever. I'm 70. I don't even know how to do it. And no, really, Twitter Tom Brady, Twitter the general manager of the Browns, make them somehow say that they didn't ask him or they did, and have Tom say, no, I won't or I will. Publicly, even if they don't offer him the contract, public opinion, he becomes like John Glenn. You talk about Cleveland fans flipping and doing somersaults. He could be elected governor, senator, just like John Glenn was. That is such a good idea. And like, yeah, who knows what kind of shape he's in, but he should have it in his blood. And you got a team there that deep. Oh yeah, I love that idea, man. Love it. I was going to talk about the Browns getting Joe Flacco, hoping he had one or two games left in him. But you're probably right. He's almost 40, or I think he's close to 40.
I think he's 38, yeah. Flacco, but close enough. He's been irrelevant for the last few years. He's not Tom Brady when he just gets better and better with age, like fine wine when Brady was already well into his 40s and is now, I think, 45 or 44 he just turned in August for TB12. So I would give it a shot. I would. I'd call him up and see if he could want to come on in and help deliver Cleveland a championship. And it's only a one-year thing. Deshaun Watson coming back next year on the fully guaranteed contract for Brady. It's a commitment from, not even week 12. You're not even on the field for this Sunday, but from week 13 and on. And you've set yourself up in nice position at 7-3. Just go win three more games here, and you could treat the second half of the season pretty much like preseason. And look at what Tampa Bay. Brady got to Tampa Bay. They did not have a great team in the regular season. They were not this force in the regular season. They didn't even win their own division. But come playoff time, with that defense and their similarities from the Browns to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we know that defense is legit. It's championship caliber. And sure, the Browns don't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski and Leonard Fournette. Like, that Bucs team is really damn good, and they also got Antonio Brown and won a Super Bowl. But you got more than enough there behind a really damn good offensive line. Enough at the wide receiving position. Brady and David Njoku would have a good connection as well in the tight end spot. And you kind of plug and play at the running back spot. And who knows? You bring Brady in, you see who else pops up out of the woodworks that wants to come out of retirement or is a free agent right now. Or maybe they start begging their agent, hey, I'm on this terrible team. Get me released. I want to go to Cleveland and be a part of the Cleveland Browns. So I don't know if Brady would say yes. I would probably lean that he would say no. But I don't know if that's 100%. And if it's not a call, at least, that Andrew Berry has made yet, well, then Andrew Berry is just not running that organization the right way. Because you have to leave every stone unturned here. And you need to try everything in your power to get the right quarterback in for the final 2 months of the season to maybe extend your season into 3 months and go on a little bit of a playoff run. Let's go to Justin in Ohio next up on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Justin, what do you got for me?
Hey, what's up? I was just calling to say there's not a lot of quarterbacks out there, but I haven't heard Cam Newton name been thrown out there yet. And I know he hasn't had, the best rap sheet since he's, left Carolina, but I feel like he has enough talent to take that team where they need to go. Like, just enough explosiveness to get Amari Cooper the ball and the Njoku the ball and still have a run threat on the ground. And he can make good decisions, being that he has experience being at the Super Bowl. And that's all I really had.
Yeah, Justin, so I'm a fan of Cam, but Cam can't throw the football anymore. Cam thinks he could still be a top 32 quarterback in the league. And I know there's some embarrassing performances around the league, but like Tommy DeVito in a few starts just threw for 3 touchdown passes against the Commanders. And I don't think anything of Tommy DeVito. I don't know if Cam could walk into that Giants situation against the Commanders and throw for 3 touchdown passes. I saw Cam for an entire season in New England. He was shot then. Then he goes back to Carolina. Panthers fans were doing backflips. They were going crazy. Oh, we get Cam back. This is going to be wonderful. Did a nice job in that game running the football up against the Arizona Cardinals. But after that, he couldn't complete a pass. So Cam's body, unfortunately, just is not physically able to hold up anymore. And if you're going to go into those options, I just don't see what Cam would bring to this football team. Because Cam, from a physical standpoint, doesn't really have anything left in the tank. Now, if you want to run him 20 times a game, okay. But you need a quarterback that has the ability to throw the football. In the year of 2023, we are far removed from the days of 2014, 2015, when Cam was lighting the league on fire and taking the league by storm. Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina, next up on CBS Sports Radio. Chuck, what's happening?
Hey, Zach. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing wonderful. What do you got, Chuck?
Good. Couple things. On the Brady thing, on the Cleveland sites, the Brown sites, fans have been calling for Brady since probably an hour after Deshaun got injured. They've also talked about Phillip Rivers and possibilities like that. I really believe, Zach, that Andrew has probably made that call, and I'm assuming that he got turned down and he doesn't want to broadcast that. I can't see him not having made that call already. And one other thing you're talking about with the Browns, you forgot to mention that they are without both of their starting tackles on the offensive line.
Yeah, with Jedrick Wills getting hurt.
I'm sorry?
With Jedrick Wills going down, what was that, last week, I'm pretty sure, or 2 weeks ago?
Conklin went down at the beginning of the season, and then what's his name? I forget their left tackle. He's no good anyway. But, you know, they picked up Christian, I think, off, wasn't it New England's practice squad? And he's come in and done good. And then that kid from Ohio State, the rookie, stepped right in as a starting right tackle and has done really a phenomenal job when you consider he's gone up against Watt and a couple of the other great tackles, I mean defensive ends, and has held his own. So he's got a good future. But it's pretty amazing what they've done with really Watson has played two good games since he's signed with the Browns.
And that may even be a stretch, because when you're playing good games and you've looked like crap, then what we call a good game is not really that good of a game for what the old Deshaun Watson standards were. The Browns have a heck of a team. They really do. They have a lot of talent, and even without Nick Chubb, even without Deshaun Watson, if they could just go out there and get a legit quarterback, it's not crazy to say that that's a team that could go on a dangerous run this year already at 7-3. But you're already past the trade deadline. You go into this pool of, like, all right, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, who hasn't played in 3 years. But Brady, this is first year out of the league. And if you know there's anyone that could walk into any situation behind a good old line, even with injuries, and dominate with the great defense, it's Tom Brady. What are you shaking your head about, by the way, Santa? What do you know about winning football? You've never seen a winning football team in your life.
Well, first of all, neither of you without cheating. I mean, a bunch of cheaters out there.
Oh, you're such a loser. You're like a little mosquito.
But you want to say you don't know if it's a 100% chance that Brady... It's a 100% chance that Brady says no. There is
Why?
A 0.0000% chance that Tom
this
Brady says yes.
This dude never wanted to retire. If it wasn't because his marriage was on life support, he would never retire the first
he's
time.
He's done. And if he's going to come back, he's not coming back to the Cleveland
Browns.
Where is he going?
Where is he going to then?
If when Aaron Rodgers went down four plays into the Jets...
He hates
first,
the Jets, and
it
they have no
matter.
Line.
He almost went to the Dolphins. He doesn't care about going in divisions. He doesn't care
totally
about going
different.
Against,
totally
it
different.
Totally different. Forget about how he feels about the Jets. He doesn't care. If he has a chance to win a Super Bowl and go up against Belichick twice in a season and go against Belichick and prove,
him and Bill
hey,
were
I'm
crying a few weeks ago on that, on that Let's
matter.
Go podcast.
It doesn't matter. He has nothing
so
to do with
wrong
the Jets.
On this.
There is a zero. If he were to go back, maybe like if Brock Purdy got hurt, go to the 49ers or to the Raiders in Vegas. There is a 0.0% chance.
He retired and said he didn't want to go to the Raiders. That retirement was him saying,
and you
I don't want to go to the
Cleveland
Raiders.
Browns
I'd rather
is
own
where
him.
He wants to go. The Cleveland Browns.
Okay,
I'm a Jets fan and I'm embarrassed
yes,
for that organization.
But that's because you haven't adapted to what the Cleveland Browns are. in 2023.
They're the Cleveland Browns. He's
okay,
not go
they're a
outdoor.
7-3 football team.
He's not go
they're,
play
better than, they're better than your
in
trash
December
Jets
in Cleveland.
Why not? The guy played in Foxborough. He didn't even know where it was
yeah,
when
he
got
hated
drafted.
It. That's why
no,
he went
he
to Tampa.
Didn't. That's a bunch of bullcrap. He was there for 20 something years.
Yes,
Sam
and
there.
If he could have left and gone down to Tampa 5 years earlier, he would have. He
no,
doesn't
he
want to be in
have.
The cold weather in December anymore.
You, here's what
he
you're missing.
He's 40 something years
you're
old.
Missing.
He doesn't want to handle the cold weather.
Here's what you're missing. Just be quiet. Listen, you'll learn something here for a second. Tom Brady is addicted to winning. He only would want to go to a winning situation. When he left the Patriots, he realized, oh, the Bucs have a good offensive line. Oh, the Bucs have Mike Evans. Oh, the Bucs have Chris Godwin. Oh, I could take control of this organization and get Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski. Oh, the Bucs have this great defense. He went to a winning situation. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you saying if he didn't come back for the Jets have no one on the offensive line. They could put your body in place of Mekhi Becton, and it maybe would be more effective, and you're about like 5'5" and 150 pounds soaking wet. The Browns have a legit O-line. The Browns have a great defense. The Browns have Amari Cooper. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this idea, like I'm high on something for suggesting it. They're a good organization. They're 7-3.
They're
they haven't had a quarterback all
year.
You
just said the Cleveland Browns
this
are a
year,
good organization.
This year.
They're a good team, but they're not a good organization.
This year, they're a good organization. They're 7-3
they
with crap
Deshaun Watson
on $230
million of guaranteed money. They are not a good organization.
You're not listening. In the year of 2023, the Cleveland Browns have had nothing at the quarterback position. Nothing.
Yes.
Zero.
Being a good team is different than being a good organization.
Zero. Like the number of Super Bowls that you have seen in your lifetime. They've gotten nothing. Nada. Zero. Zilch. Out of the quarterback position. And they're still 7-3. And you look at that like they're the ugly, redheaded stepchild that has a bunch of warts on their face. And they're terrible because they've been dog crap for the last 20 years. In 2023... You want to dangle a carrot in front of Brady and say maybe you could come on back? Better option than the Jets. Better option than any other team that has gone down with injuries.
Better option than the Jets in week one and the Browns
yes,
in week 12?
The Jets don't have an offensive line. When Brady doesn't have an offensive line, he gets the crap beaten out of him. It's the only way you beat him.
So Joe Burrow went down. Why wouldn't the Bengals make more sense? Why wouldn't
Bengals
the Jets make more sense? Why wouldn't
because the Jets
the
don't have an offensive
Vegas
line.
Raiders make more sense? Why wouldn't the Vikings make more sense?
Because the Raiders
they can
suck.
Play indoors with the Vikings. He's not going to go play in Cleveland
what?
For
he
5 weeks.
He played in Foxborough.
Yes, and he's 40-something years old, and he doesn't want to play in the cold weather anymore. There's a 0% chance that he would go back to the Browns. 0.00. Right? If Stafford went down, maybe he goes to the Rams or the 49ers. He's not going to go and play in freaking Cleveland.
You make it
no
as you make it as if the Cleveland Browns suck. They do not suck. They're one of the best teams in football this year.
Yeah.
They're 7-3.
Very, very good team. It is an awful organization in a cold city that Tom Brady will not want to attach his name to. 0.0% chance that Tom Brady comes out. I would literally give you my house, my leg, and my baby.
I don't know if
he
wants your house.
If he came out to the Browns.
You want me to be a father now?
You could have all of it. You could have the whole world.
Seems like Santa just wanted to take over responsibility.
Shoes, it doesn't matter. All of it is yours. If Tom Brady plays for the Cleveland Browns.
What are you telling me that we don't know of?
Zach
Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll do three college football takes when we return. We will push that back to 5 minutes. But first, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here is a man that actually knows what he's talking about. It's nice to be working with someone that knows what they're talking about.
Stu?
Oh, well, I could also throw Stu in there, too. Here he is, Rich Ackerman.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by Raleigh Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Very nice of Moist Mike to apologize to me during the break. He thought he was out of line in that last segment, and he said that his take was the definition of just stupidity. So it takes a big man to apologize, so I respect that out of Moist Mike from just his ridiculous takes. But anyway, I'm sure he won't have any response to that. So let's get to some onside offside right now.
I wonder what number Tom Brady would wear in Cleveland. Anyway,
after 12.
Maybe.
Whatever he wants. They'd give him the keys to the city.
Yeah, that was sarcasm. After pulling Zach Wilson late in their loss to the Bills, the Jets decided to keep the former number two overall pick on the bench, and will start Tim Boyle this week against the Dolphins. So onside, offside, Zach Wilson will go down as an all-time bust on the level of Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This dude is known for his teammates can't stand in his guts last year, even though it has changed this year, and talking himself out of quickly getting benched, and also his play has been terrible, and the best thing that he's known for is that supposedly, allegedly, maybe not, he slept with like his mother's hot friend. So if that's the best thing he's known for, which is not a bad thing, it means his football career was an absolute joke. And to be the number two overall pick and for this team to just keep on going back to the well with you, even though he was benched today, is just insanity. But yeah, this is an all-time bust like Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell. So I will go onsides there. Because there are a lot of punchlines here to the Zach Wilson story too. And they're fun punchlines as well. Where like the Ryan Leaf story was never fun. Jamarcus Russell didn't study. And Zach Wilson, right, kind of had the low-hanging fruit jokes that we can make.
The Broncos' Kareem Jackson served a two-game suspension for illegal targeting hits and, in his first game back yesterday, launched himself headfirst into the helmet of Vikings quarterback Josh Dobbs. After the game, Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell said there should have been a flag.
In the moment, coming from the second level the way he did, it seemed like a pretty direct helmet-to-helmet type hit, but I'm sure they saw it differently.
So onside, offside, the NFL should suspend Jackson again for targeting.
Easy offside for me. I'm not saying that I advocate these specific hits, but when I watch the game last night, the refs didn't see it on the field. Now, that's not the only thing where you go, okay, a flag shouldn't be thrown, but it wasn't until the TV and the replay showed you it where you're like, okay, maybe that wasn't the best hit in the world, but when you're watching it live, I didn't think it was egregious, and I don't know what else he's supposed to do. You know, it's so tough with the placement of the cabeza when you're going to make a tackle. I didn't look at that and say, oh my goodness gracious, we need to go suspend Kareem Jackson. So the NFL should suspend Jackson again for targeting. I would go offside on that one.
Offside.
The 49ers are rolling and averaging over 30 points a game in their last two wins, but lost all-pro safety Talanoa Hufanga.
Talanoa Hufanga.
Yes. No,
what a great name.
And then as soon as I saw it, it just slipped over. Hufanga for the rest of the season with his ACL injury.
Sam had a few pops before the show.
Talanoa Hufanga. Onside, offside. Losing Hufanga is a major blow to the Niners' Super Bowl chances.
So he's an incredible player. He's a phenomenal player. But I can't say it's a major blow because I still think the 49ers have a heck of a team. And the 49ers told me all offseason that if they just had Brock Purdy in the NFC title game, they would have got to the Super Bowl. So still having Brock Purdy upright is the biggest thing for the 49ers, I guess, according to the 49ers. So not that you want to lose Hufanga for the season. It's terrible. He's a phenomenal player and really has ridiculous hair. And I love his hair as well. It's kind of Palomalu-like. It's awesome. So he's a phenomenal football player. It stinks losing him, but I still think they have everything right in front of them. I do believe the Eagles are still better, but I don't think this makes me say, okay, the Niners now can't win a Super Bowl. So I would go offside on that one.
Offside.
Now, tonight's Monday Night Football matchup is a rematch of the Super Bowl and a potential preview of this year's big game as the 8-1 Eagles travel to KC to face the 7-2 Chiefs. So onside, offside, this game is more important for the Eagles than it is for the Chiefs.
So from a record standpoint, you could say, all right, the Chiefs got to win because then the Chiefs lose, they're 7-3. And then them and the Ravens are pretty much close to being even though the Ravens are 8-3. Ravens, I don't believe, had their bye week yet. That's why that's the case. So I understand the case to be made for why this is more important for the Chiefs, but I don't think anyone doubts the Chiefs. I know their offense hasn't been clean after last year, them getting doubted for a big chunk of the season and saying they're vulnerable. Anyone saying they're vulnerable now, someone still's got to go out there and kick their ass and take their name while it matters. But for the Eagles, they're 8-1, and I don't think Philadelphia's played their best brand yet. And Philadelphia could improve slightly on the defensive side of the ball, but offensively, I would just trust the Eagles' offense more tonight to outscore the Kansas City Chiefs. So I kind of feel as if this game is more important for Philadelphia, because if they lose, there'll be a gross overreaction tomorrow. Oh, the Eagles are vulnerable. Oh, the Eagles aren't as good as last year. If the Chiefs lose this game 7-3, I don't think anyone looks at Kansas City and goes, oh, they can't find a way to get back to the Super Bowl this year. So that's why I would say this game's more important to the Eagles than the Chiefs. So I would go on sides.
And Michigan held on to beat Maryland 31-24 on Saturday, obviously without Jim Harbaugh. But before the game, Fox's Bruce Feldman had a troubling report about Harbaugh's future in Ann Arbor.
Going forward, it's going to be interesting because he still has an NCAA investigation from recruiting violations from the COVID dead period that the NCAA is still after him about. Now you have this Connor Stallions signal stealing story that they're dealing with. It would not be surprising if Jim Harbaugh, if he is still the coach in Michigan, could be suspended for the bulk of the 2024 season, I'm told.
So onside, offside, you are okay with the NCAA suspending Harbaugh a full season for his alleged violations?
Absolutely not. So he already served 3 games from the Big Ten, not the NCAA, on the sign-stealing scandal. So if they want to hit him with 2 more games to make that 5, okay. The other thing, which was all about like the cheeseburgers and the illegal contact during a dead period and all that stuff, they took a self-imposed 3-game suspension. Now, they were close to reaching an agreement, and it didn't happen because Harbaugh wouldn't bow down, which maybe he should have done now looking back. Hindsight's 20/20. I thought there would be like 2 more games added on there. So if you add that together and you want to say like 4 or 5 games next year, okay. But a full season, I think, would be a joke. So I would say offside when you ask me, are you okay with Harbaugh getting suspended for a full season?
Offside!
Now, Washington snuck by Oregon State in their final battle in the Pac-12 before the Huskies move to the Big Ten next year. However, Washington and Washington State agreed to extend the historic Apple Cup until 2028 to keep the in-state rivalry alive. Onside, offside, rivalries lose much of their luster when the teams are no longer in the same conference.
It loses a little bit of luster, but when you have these legendary rivalries, even if they're out of conference, I think you should still play them. Because for college football, those regular season games matter so much. And even though the NCAA has tried to kill the importance of geography and proximity and all that stuff with all the money-chasing teams going to the big conferences and all that, which I understand, those rivalries and that history still means a lot with those fan bases. And I don't want to see that go away. I still think there'd be a lot of juice for those games, even if it's not as much as it used to be with the changes of conferences. So rivalries lose much of their luster when the teams are not in the same conference. A little bit, but not much. I still think it'd be important to continue those, so I would go offside. All righty, that's Onside Offside. It's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers could be returning. Why would it be idiotic? We get to that next.